Thank you for staying with Sharad and I on Consider This. Let's continue our conversation with the World Health Organization representative for Malaysia, Dr. Low Ying Ru. Dr. Low, let's take a look at the World Health Organization in a global context now. We had the US President Donald Trump accusing the WHO of mismanagement and covering up the spread of COVID-19. I'm just wondering what that impact has been. What has the impact been for the WHO in the US kind of pulling back its support for the organization, especially at this point in time?
It is very regrettable. The contribution of the US government and its people to global health and public health have been enormous and valuable. We have been working very closely with technical partners from the US government and including myself personally, and we hope that this important collaboration will continue. And particularly in a time where we face a global pandemic of this magnitude, we really need solidarity, unity, and vigilance. We need all hands on deck working together.
Dr. Low, I understand that not everybody knows or is familiar with the WHO in terms of its structure. I understand your annual budget last year was only some $2 billion US dollars, which is quite small considering you're covering the globe. In terms of capacity, in terms of resources, is the WHO in fact hamstrung by the limits placed on it because it's a multilateral organization, because of budgets and other kind of constraints, it doesn't have powers over member states? What could change? Will the pandemic change the way the WHO operates in the future with or without Donald Trump's help?
Well, you have to maybe go back in history and look at WHO. It was founded after World War II by the member states as part of the United Nations as a specialized agency. And its program and its budget is decided, it's funded and decided by the member states. In addition, we are getting additional funding, but, our governing body is not a board of directors, and you have like in a company or in other agencies. We are an assembly. We are mandated, and the member states, they make the decisions of the program priorities, how much is being allocated, so we are the secretariat. So I think what you are implying and what some people think is that we are coming like a health agency which tells the government, this is what you have to do, you have to report. If you don't report, we will punish you. That's not how it's working. It's about diplomacy, working with the governments and have a close working relationship with the ministries of health, which are actually constituting the WHO. Your Ministry of Health in Malaysia is a member of WHO and is determining the directions of our program.
Dr. Can I ask you if you think there is a trust deficit now, especially because there's been questions over the World Health Organization's handling of the pandemic? Has that impacted its ability to provide guidance to countries? Do you sense a trust deficit?
Well, we had just the World Health Assembly, and we had global leaders, we had prime ministers, several prime ministers speaking at the opening of the World Health Assembly, and we had so many ministers of health delegations participating and releasing a resolution on COVID-19 and with a strong support to WHO. And that has been unprecedented and not seen in this way during a time where we cannot assemble. So I think that there's a lot of solidarity among the member states. They do understand that a body like the World Health Organization is needed for sharing information, early sharing information, and bringing people together to develop guidance or to release guidance, to validate and analyze risks and data together. It is in particular in these times, there is no other body which could, or agency which is in the same position, which is constituted by the different member states, which is large networks, and a large network of focal persons in all the countries who are linked together and working together. Same for the experts. WHO is at the forefront in coordinating and bringing together scientists, promoting more collaboration and early information sharing between scientists to develop vaccines, to find treatments. So I don't see that this is happening, that there is a distrust.
Okay.
WHO is evolving. It has to evolve as the world is evolving around it.
Dr. Law, a question about the if and when of a vaccine. What will the WHO's role be, especially in terms of access and equitable distribution of the vaccine?
Well, WHO has been at the coordination of bringing researchers together and sharing early and promoting early information sharing and partnering with other agencies to support rapid vaccine research. And we know that there are currently 10 candidate vaccines in clinical trials, and several hundreds in preclinical development, 120 in preclinical stage of development. So the role of WHO is, once a vaccine is available, is to help, and we are planning for that already now, to prepare for equitable access of vaccines, and in particular in emergency situations for outbreak. That's a very complex undertaking. But before it comes to that, we will have to have a vaccine. We have to have the production in place. There are many aspects to be considered.
Well, Dr. Law, I really want to thank you so much for speaking with us tonight. We really appreciate your time and for you sharing your insights in the position of the World Health Organization. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for this episode of Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan, signing off for the evening.
Thank you so much for watching, and good night.